It's the confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. June 6th, 2020, the first of 16 consecutive weekend rallies, protests, marches, was held to call for racial and social justice. The Civil Saturdays were organized by Nick Anglin and Treasure Palmer, co-founders of Black, Young, and Educated. 1 year later, Civil Saturdays resumed in Pittsburgh this past weekend. Nick Anglin is with us. Welcome back to The Confluence, Nick.
Thank you for having me.
Saturday's action was an effort to stand in solidarity with Palestinians. I mean, you previously focused on policing in the U.S. and Pennsylvania laws. So is this a sign that you're expanding some of your topics that you want to make people aware of?
Yeah, we're always expanding the topics that we want to make people aware of. That's the main thing that we talk about in our meetings and that we vocalize as a collective. We always want to educate people about more and more issues. Still, like, we still want to stay grounded and rooted in our the same issues that we already been focusing on because, like, Pennsylvania, although, like, we were advocating for the amendment of Section 508, it's still there. It still hasn't been amended, so we still are focusing on our same endeavors and the same things that we want to change. But at the same time, we realize that the world's always ever-changing and there's always going to be injustices in the world. Well, ideally, we don't want any injustices in the world, but we feel like we have to vocalize. We have to take action. Not using your voice is staying complacent to the system.
You worked to try to amend Section 508 of state law regarding the use of force by police. Is that still a priority? Are you going to be working with state legislators who had previously sponsored bills to change that law?
That is still a priority. Right now, we're focusing more on the people than politicians. I'm working on a campaign, the Power to the People campaign. And that is solely just, like, focusing on PA voters, Pittsburgh voters, the people that are voting our politicians into office, making sure that the people are using that power and taking advantage of that power is important.
Mm-hmm. Focusing on people, is that a way of maybe returning to the educational organization that you had been when you first were founded? You founded it along with Treasure Palmer.
Yeah, it is a return. When we organized, you know, that was a move. That was really a move that we had, a feeling, an emotion that we just had to organize, you know. A lot of the times people will only think of us as, like, organizers, protesters, but we do so much more. And we have been doing so much more since the beginning, since BI was founded. I remember before we were getting funding and before we even got donations and people were donating to us, like, I was working two jobs. Me and Treasure were, like, working all the time during high school to pay for our events and to make sure that they were free for everyone to attend and to go to. So focusing on the people has always been our main focus. And, you know, that's always been something that has brought us joy because we're able to interact with other people and, like, learn what other people think and other experiences, because, like, our thoughts aren't facts. Like, our thoughts and whatever we think aren't facts. Like, you always have something to learn from somebody else and a way to grow. Yeah, I guess it is a return to our original intentions, but I don't think we ever strayed away, because even with Civil Saturdays, we were educating people and getting to know people about the actions, too.
One Hood Media received a $10,000 grant from the Opportunity Fund to support general operations of Black, Young, and Educated. How can this help your mission?
We have so much coming with that. I guess I could give insight about what we have coming. We're working on, right now, a community fridge project, and we're working to facilitate that right now, getting everything in order to start that so it can help to combat food insecurity in Pittsburgh, because ever since COVID, food insecurity has been on a rise. So we just want to create a community fridge so people will be able to get fresh food and different canned goods without having to go, and like healthy food options without having to go too far. You know, they could just stay in their neighborhood.
Nick, you were planning and coordinating marches for 16 straight Saturdays last year, from the start points to the roots. Was it exhausting? Was it empowering? What was it for you?
It was definitely exhausting when I was organizing presently. Like, it was more, I didn't realize how exhausting it was until the 16th week. And I was in college, and that's when I realized how the toll that it really took on me. But during the summertime, all I was focused on was just, like, getting Section 508 amended. We have to get this amended. We have to get this amended. Like, educating people on these different topics, progressing the Black movement. Like, and then after the 16th week, I switched my focus to, like, okay, like, focusing on myself and, like, my health, because it definitely took a toll on my mental, and even on my body. Like, for the longest, my voice was so strained. Even now, like, with the slightest scream, you know, like, my voice, it starts hurting. It was a toll. It was definitely a toll on all of us. That's why one of our main focuses now is to just take our time and not stress ourselves out, and, like, still advocate and still progress the movement, but also do it so we're keeping ourselves safe, we're keeping our mental health stable.
So, will you have gatherings and marches maybe every other weekend? How often are you planning during the course of the summer?
Right now, we're saying that we continue doing Civil Saturdays at least bi-weekly. But there's also, like, our focusing on our campaigns this summer and still have different events to be able to educate people and be able to advocate, but it would just look different from what Civil Saturdays looked like.
Are you trying to reach new people with these actions? Sort of expand the group, if you would.
Obviously, like, Section 508 is a whole Pennsylvania, you know, issue. Like, eventually we don't want to just be talking about this in Pittsburgh. One of my goals is to eventually bring it out to Philadelphia and have the Section 508 be something that people are talking about out here, something that people are educated on, that know about, so, like, they can also email their politicians and, like, text or call their politicians, their local electives, and be like, oh, like, this is wrong. We should get this amended. I want this to be amended. And if it's not, like, I'll vote you out.
The city of Pittsburgh will have a new mayor, most likely Ed Gainey, who would be the city's first Black mayor. How do you think you would work with Ed Gainey?
Ed Gainey is a nice guy. Like, he's really nice. I feel like working with Ed Gainey in the future is going to be nothing but positive. And I feel like he'll make some positive changes in the city. When, you know, I saw his win the next day, like, I just sent him a message and I was like, I'm excited to work with you in the future. Excited to see some different change in Pittsburgh and see a different kind of Pittsburgh. And hopefully a Pittsburgh that is more beneficial to Black Pittsburghers.
Nick Anglin is the co-founder and CEO of Black, Young, and Educated. Nick, thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. The feature film Back for Good, co-written and co-directed by Pittsburgh natives and sister and brother Molly and Bailey Donovan, is now streaming internationally. Pittsburgh is the backdrop for the film, and Molly and Bailey join us now. Welcome to The Confluence.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks so much for having us.
Hi, Kevin. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Molly, Back for Good, it's the story of Max Kelly, an aspiring actor. She leaves New York City to return home to reclaim the love she left behind. Is the love a person, or is it Pittsburgh, or both?
I would definitely say it's both. Yeah, I think that her mind thinks that she's going back sort of for one person, but I think what she really needed was to be home in a place that cared about her and a place where she felt safe.
Bailey, why is Pittsburgh special to you?
I mean, it is my home. I mean, I grew up here in the South Hills in Brentwood. I've lived here my whole life. And I think it's just a wonderful city to kind of round you out as a person.
You've worked in Pittsburgh, you've New York, California. You've worked all around. So back for good, truly?
Well, I don't live in Pittsburgh, but I did grow up there, and I spent much of my last few years there working on things with Bailey and visiting, of course. But I still live in New York after a few years of being here, so I can't predict the future, but I'll probably be here for a while, I think.
Molly, Pittsburgh theatergoers likely remember your work with the Three Rivers Shakespeare Festival, Pittsburgh Public Theater, among others. Max Kelly, the lead character in Back for Good. Is this film autobiographical in a sense?
I mean, there's a lot of me in this movie, that's for sure. The story itself, literally told this story, is not autobiographical. I actually never did most of the things, well, not exactly as they play out in this movie. I've actually never moved back to Pittsburgh, but it definitely had a lot to do with where I was at in my mind and what I was questioning about my life at the time when I was writing it. Just sort of that pull between where I think I want to go, but how nice it would feel, you know, safe and cared about again. So that's what it's about to me. I mean, it's not my actual life.
Mm-hmm. You filmed this actually in 2014, but it's streaming now when many people have returned to hometowns, moving back in with parents because of the pandemic. Do you think people will connect more with the story today than maybe they would have just a couple of years ago? Molly, you first.
I definitely think that that's true. I mean, for all the sort of uncertainty of when this would be finally streaming, I mean, it was as bittersweet as these last, few months, year plus has been. I think that the timing of its release right now to be watched is actually really good timing because, like you said, I think that there's so many people that are reevaluating literally where they've found themselves in their lives. And I hope that people can relate to it, and I hope it makes them feel better about wherever they are. That's for sure.
Bailey?
Yeah, I agree. It's really a movie about digging deep and kind of reevaluating what your real priorities are and what you really value in life, the relationships you have in your career. So yeah, I hope people watching this movie now will kind of get to tap into that and maybe help deal with some of those conflicts.
Mm-hmm. Bailey, as a director, your work has been screened at the Directors Guild of America, Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, Lionsgate Studios. Your father played Max's father in the film. Your brother is executive producer. Sister, Hannah, headed up the makeup department. Your mom, Bobby, was the production designer. This film was really a family affair, wasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely was. And we grew up in a very creative house, and our parents both studied art and acting in college. They didn't end up pursuing that ultimately as careers, but they fostered creativity in all of us from a young age. And so, you know, we all kind of went our sort of separate directions, but there was something for everybody to come back and work on for this project.
Molly, I don't know if I left anybody out in your family, but how was that experience for you?
I mean, it was amazing. I do think that, you know, it's funny when Bailey and I have been asked, and we've thought about when people have asked us, were you planning to, you know, write and direct a feature film together at some point? The answer is not really yes. We weren't planning on it. I guess it was just kind of inevitable, I guess, that we would all kind of sync up and work on something together. And I'm sure we'll do it again. I can't say exactly how. I mean, I know I'm going to work with Bailey again, and I'd be shocked if I didn't work with everybody else.
You know, the collaborating with a sibling too, I think, is a very unique kind of collaboration. And you know, when we were going to festivals and talking with people about the project, and they found out that we were brother sister, you know, a lot of them were like, "Oh, I would never be able to collaborate with my sibling on something for as much as I love them." But for us, it's been a very it's a very sturdy sort of collaboration, because there's a sort of unconditional love and respect that comes with a family member. And I think when you're in that kind of collaboration, you feel a lot more free creatively to, you know, to throw out ideas and to kind of be vulnerable. And yeah, I'm really grateful that we got to work with our family for that reason, and especially Molly.
All right. Now, tell me, there was never a time either in the writing or the directing, the producing, that you didn't butt heads?
I mean, honestly, I feel like there were lots of obstacles and lots of challenges and lots of frustration, but it was always us versus those conflicts. We weren't the conflict for the other person.
I think Kevin thinks we're lying. I think he thinks we're lying, but we're not.
It's really legitimate, not. Yeah.
You two are Pittsburgh natives. The cast and crew almost entirely come from Pittsburgh. A lot of Point Park grads. Your work has received several national awards and honors. What does that signal about the talent that our region produces? Bailey, you first.
Yeah, I mean, the crew we worked with was largely people that I'd worked with at Point Park when I was there studying cinema and digital arts. We were fresh out of school, basically, when we took this project on. You know, with a group that, you know, kind of fresh out of school, you could expect there to be a lot of hiccups and a lot of problems. But, like, the crew rose to the occasion so amazingly. Our producers made sure that things were so organized and so safe and respectful on set. We were able to pull something off that I don't really understand how. It was just a lot of hard work, a lot of talent. And I think that people felt so kind of passionate and motivated, especially coming right out of school, trying to, you know, get an ambitious project under their belt early on, that I think everyone just put in their all, and it really shows, I think.
Mm-hmm. And Molly?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all of the things that Bailey said. I mean, we took a smaller version of our crew to New York, and it was just amazing, like, just to see people just rolling with the challenges of being in a new city that, you know, was hard to, you know, maybe navigate, I guess. I mean, most of our shooting was done in Pittsburgh, but we did shoot on location in New York with some background actors, and they said that our production was more organized than a lot of the bigger sets that they've been on. And I definitely think that's a testament to our crew. There's nothing I would change about it.
The feature film Back for Good is streaming on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, and Google Play. It was co-written and co-directed by Pittsburgh native sister and brother Molly and Bailey Donovan. Good luck with the film. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. You can find more from this and past episodes of The Confluence online at wesa.fm/confluence and through your favorite podcast app. Thanks to our team, Tom Hurley, Laura Satsui, and Mary Lee Williams. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.